Good evening, everybody. We're on Daf Lamed Zayin. I'm going to offer the top. I'd like to personally thank the two volunteers that subbed for me in my absence. My son-in-law, my esteemed son-in-law, Rav Nachum Zamber, and my esteemed Kavrusa, Rav Avraham Schwartz. No pause. That's sorry. Okay. Anyway, I missed you guys. Anyway, we're ready to get back started into the groove. So base nomer. So this was this group of people. So they used to do their reaping with a rope. They used to give payah from every single row. So we explained this to remind yourself of the mefarshim how they explained the pshat. That the pshat is that the rope accomplished that each row became a ktsir b'fnei atzma, therefore allowing for a hafrashas payah for each row independently.
Let me just shut this sound off of here so we don't hear that sound. Okay, and
that allowed the aniyim to start collecting at the end of each row. Tony, Rabbi Sholom, so there's two ideas here. There are some people that maskinas lignai. You mentioned them for bad. Maskinas l'shamach, some people say good, praise for them. So maskinas lignai, some people who say that they didn't do a good thing. Shohi noisin peil echad mimeya. That the pshat is, even though they were using this rope, which was very precise, but lamaisa, the rope ended up giving them only a loss of 1/100th of their payrus instead of the requisite 1/60th. So therefore, this rope, although it looked like they were doing tzidkas, but in the end, it was not. So that was the genai, okay? And maskinos and l'shavach, the good part about it is obviously shalom maktinoisim hakavach noisim peil mekalim. They were able to collect if the aniyim did not have to wait around for the whole field to be harvested. They could go, and as soon as they finished one row, they could jump in, grab the end of that row. So that was a good thing. All right, so that's the first part of this. Now, what else does he say here? Yeah, now we're going to talk about, this is a very interesting Gemara, because there's a similar Gemara in the Masechta Shabbos, which I'm going to tell you about in a second. In the Inyan of Chanukah. Okay, we'll talk about it in a second. Tell me, Reb Shimon. So this is what the Brisa says in the name of Reb Shimon. The Nechamisha, we talked about this earlier in the year. I don't know if you guys remember. There are five reasons why a person should get paid at the end. At the end of the field. Number one, Megezel Aniyim, because you're going to be, you might steal from the Aniyim, meaning you might go ahead and give it to one of your relatives. If you were able to call out pay at any point in the thing, you could say, okay, Charlie, come over to the field right now. There's nobody around, and we'll set up pay for you. You'll be able to cash in really well. So that's Gezel Aniyim. Then they Bittel Aniyim because you're wasting their time. They don't know when to they're going to be standing by. Is he going to finish now? The Gemara's going to explain all this. I'm jumping the gun. Then they are Amoyim because of the cheaters. And they Mar Sayin because of people are going to see and they're going to say he didn't do it. There's a pasuk that says you're not supposed to finish it. Zok the Gemara. So I'm going to explain it. Negazlaniim keitzah. What does it mean? Negazlaniim shali or other must hashop to your personal see that it's a free moment. We don't look over and he'll tell his friend, his relative, and he'll say, "Bov tolach lasapeya, come take the pay now." That's going to be gazlaniim. Negazlaniim keitzah shali. Anim yoshim v'msham kol yom v'imim hachshav who knows some peya, hachshav who knows some peya. Oh, the pay. We don't want the aniyim sitting around waiting and saying, "Okay, now he's going to do it. Now he's going to do it." Okay, that's a waste of their time. Elo, yelchav yilkedu b'son acheres v'yavo b'shas akilei. They'll go and they'll collect in another field, and they'll come. They'll be able to time that b'shas akilei. In other words, there's another girsa that says that they'll do their malacha. But that obviously is the same thing, because the malacha of these aniyim is obviously to go to other fields and collect their other available handouts. So like this, they'll be able to do their other jobs or venues for other collecting other food, and then they can come back. They'll have a more of a time. They'll be able to time how they go around. It's like it's like the minyanim in town. The rishulachim have figured out exactly when to go to each shul or when to come in exactly. It's the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Next. They are Ramayim. What's the Ramayim part of it? Kate's actually Yomer Kfar Nasati. what's going to happen is I'll be in the middle of the field, and I'll say, I already gave the beginning of the field. And what I'll do, what I'll end up doing is, I'll select the good food for myself. In other words, let's suppose at the end of the field, I see, oh, here come, there's some good good quality wheat coming up. I'm going to tell the Aniyam, you know, I already gave in the beginning of the field. So don't take from this part. This part is part of my part. But it's, you know, it'll be a lie because you didn't give anything from the beginning of the field. So this is another reason. I'm not exactly sure why we're throwing in all these different svaras. But I would have just said, you know, he says it, or, okay, v'hei, okay. I thought, I was wondering whether it was two things. So it's the translation fixes the problem I had. It's an issue of either he's going to say kranasati and he didn't give, which is a clear ramos, or another type of ramos is he'll go ahead, do a survey of his field, pick out the places which are good, and then he'll put the peya in the bad part. That's another cheshbon. Okay, that's all part of ramos. Now in the maras ayin, keitzah shelihu ha'ifim v'hashavim oimrim, people going by are going to say, oh, look at this. This guy went ahead, he cut his whole field down, he didn't leave any pay for the aniyim. In other words, they're going to see that the guy is cutting with his tractor trailer over there, you know, at the edge of the field, and they'll see the whole rest of the field has already been cut, and they'll see the last row he's cutting. So I'll say, you know, look at this guy.
I don't know if this is the Shabbos thing, but it's like Hanukkah candles.
That is the Shabbos thing. The Shabbos, the Gemara and Shabbos. I want to bring it down right now, so I'm glad you mentioned it. If you want to say something more?
I think.
Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara says in Shabbos. I just want to read you the language because this is fascinating.
This is very interesting.
The Gemara is about Rashad. Gemara is talking about how come on if a person has two doorways in his house that face different directions, why he has to go ahead and light in both doorways. The Gemara says, because of Chashad. Somebody shouldn't walk by and say he didn't light candles. The Gemara says, Uminayin, how do you know that you're choshish for Chashad? And the Gemara quotes this Braisa. This Braisa, you see, they have to be worried about Chashad. Okay, so now let me just read you the language of the Gemara over there in Daf Chav Gimel, just so you can, you'll see the fine nuanced difference in what the Gra in his parish picks up on. Look at our Gemara. I'm going to read you the language of our Gemara in Bavli now, called Gimel and Aleph at the bottom, and you're going to see the difference right away. First of all, Amr Rab Shimon. Bishvil arba dvarim Amr Taira laniach peya b'sof sadehu, because of four reasons the Torah said, okay, to put your pay at the end of the field. Already we have a difference, yeah? We said five. Another difference, though, look at the language. Nay,
lo yiten adam.
What was that?
Lo yiten adam. What does it say there?
Nay, arbaad varim omra toira lahaniyah peya. That's a very interesting difference. Here, Reb Shimon is explaining the Torah. Reb Shimon's lishitase, who's darsh time of the kra. I don't know if you remember, we spoke this out. B'shem Reb Chaim Knievsky, b'shem the Chazon Ish. Even though we do not paskin like Reb Shimon, legavi darish time of the crow, we do not darish time of the crow, call it Torah Kula. But over here, like what he writes from the Chazon Ish, where it's muchach, that this is the reason we will be darish time of the crow. So, whatever. But look at this. Now, so we have four things here. Menei gazel aniyim, bitol aniyim, shad, mishum bal sechala, because it says in the pasuk, right? Then the Gemara goes through the whole explanation again. And I'm just going to skip to Amud Beis, and the Gemara ends up saying, Mishum Baal Sechala. So the Gemara says, Atu Kulhu Lav Mishum Baal Sechala? Aren't they all because of Baal Sechala? Amarava Mipnei HaRamoyin, that the Baal Sechala is because of the Ramoyin. What does that mean? So Rashi says,
We have that combined.
Separate. So Rava mentions the idea of Ramoyim. Okay, we have Ramoyim as separate. So the Gra says here, very interesting comment. If you have the Bira Gra, everybody on the bottom. So let's take either side is good. It doesn't make a difference. I'll do the shorter version. It's the top line on the left. How come the Gemara in Shabbos asks, aren't they all because of Lo Sechala? Why are we giving it as a separate reason? So he says, why does the Gemara ask the question here? The Hosom Kamrinam Neima Omra Torah. There he started off with the words, why does the Torah say? And that's why the Gemara is saying, you're explaining the reason of the Pasuk. That's what your whole purpose of coming here to explain is. So the Gemara was asking, that, what do you mean? You're explaining the reasons for the Pasuk of Lo Sechala. That's Avol Hocha. Komer HaTanah, Nehei Dvorim. The Gemara is just giving five reasons. It's not explaining time of the Gra per se. Therefore, the Gemara is going to ask the question. It's very interesting the way the Gra, by noticing this small change, this nuance, he ends up answering that question. Make sense? Okay.
So this is, Abba Shaul doesn't agree to this.
Abba Shaul.
That said before, Maskim Rotam Lignam, Maskim Rotam Leshevach. There is no Shevach. If he's saying that you have to leave Peya, Lo Techale is at the end, what are you giving me business that they're doing a favor? They're not doing a favor because of all the situation.
But the way we explained it was, we explained that the rope creates a situation on each row. It kind of like and identifies each row independently. So each row, it's the end of the kiloy of that row.
So why doesn't the Torah just say that then?
Doesn't say what?
Do the rope trick, and then you can do it any time. No, I'm saying there's an opinion to do it at the end. Ramayim and the Marisayin and all and Lo Techala and all this kind of stuff. And now you're telling me that the rope trip, that's it, that's kosher?
All I'm saying is the rope that they figured out, based on Nomer, figured out a halachic loophole to make a rope trick to make it so that it's
so you're just saying lav dafka that Abishol is
holding. I don't see it necessarily. According to the Farshim, I don't see it necessarily.
Okay.
You could say that that's the Pshat in the Yerushalmi. I don't know.
I mean, their rope still was a straight line, so it still was the edge of the field.
It was the end.
It was that they took row by row by row, but it's still, the Aniyam would still say that it was a straight line.
But it doesn't help the reason.
Gazal Aniyam, not a problem. Abitul Aniyam, not a problem. Ramoyim, not a problem. What problem is there?
The Bitulanim.
Why?
Because they know when the end is going to be of every row. I'm saying.
Of course, as soon as you start, I know. As soon as you finish this row, I can grab.
So there's Maris Ayin for sure.
Why is there Maris Ayin?
Because
I see you being Meniach right now from the beginning.
No, because somebody comes at the end.
At the end, he sees the last row has been collected.
He sees the last row, and he sees only a portion, and they only left that out of 100 rows. He left the...
And you're right, that Gnai, he's going to have, that they people are going to see, but that's the problem.
Right, yes. And we're not talking about somebody standing there and clocking.
I want to throw out a general question to you. Just want to throw this kind of question out. It's really the kasha on the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara says, how do I know Chshad from? So the Gemara says, I learned it from here, from Rav Shimon. You see, Rav Shimon is worried about Chshad. It's the favorite of Gemara in Yevamos, everybody knows. It says, HaNechshad right? If a person is Nechshad, that they're having relations with a Gaya, and she's Megayeres, you're not allowed to marry her because you're confirming the rumors, and the Pasuk quotes a Pasuk. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk, Ve'yisem Nekiyam Yisrael. Right? You have to be Nekiyam. You can't confirm rumors. So why does the Gemara have to bring a raya from a Brisa with Reb Shimon, who's Darsh Tam of the Kra, that doesn't in the Chshad? What's going on over here? Is it a Farish Pasuk, a Farish Sugya Yavamas? I'm throwing that out as a kasha. I didn't look into it at all. I think that there's a general difference as a beginning to come up with an answer. I don't have an answer yet. But there's a difference between Yisam Nekiyam and Chshad. Those are two different things. Okay. Let's go weiter. So Gemara says, Halacha 4. Nach Nisha Katras Sodeo Vechen Hezgai, a person is a guy, he harvests his field, and then he goes and he becomes Jewish. So then Patr Menachem Shekhan HaPeah, he's Patr, he doesn't have to give anything. Why? Because when you become Sheket, when you become Chayiv in these Halachas, when you cut it down, and when he cut it down, he was a guy. It's not Mechayiv. If you were to give Lechet Shekhan HaPeah, what would you have to do? You'd have to give Truvus HaMaisris from it, because it's not Chayiv in Peah, and therefore it's regular Tua, which grew in Eretz Yisrael, right? Rabbi Yehuda Machayev b'shikha. Rabbi Yehuda holds you a chayev and shikha, because ein shikha ela b'shas ha'imur. When is shikha chal? Shikha. So you know when there's forgetting a bundle that I left in the field. I throw all the bundles in the back of my
pickup truck.
My pickup truck. Okay, fine. I was thinking back into Europe times when we had
wagon.
In the back of my wagon. So I go ahead and I get home and I realize, oh, I only have 9 bushels. I made 10 sheaves. I can't go back to take it because it's shechal. So when is that chal? That's chal. You know, we just said in the Mishnah, he became a ger after he did the katsira. So he's Jewish at the time that he forgot. So of course it should be chal then, right? Ain't shikha el b'shasa imur, right? That seems to be Rabbi Huda saying a very good timer. Let's see. Let's just see it in the English to see if he agrees with what I just said. In Rabbi Huda's view, since this obligation takes effect only when the sheaves are forgotten during removal to the main pile, and by this time the owner has converted to Judaism, he's obligated to leave the sheaves to the poor. Okay, that's the pashut shot. Okay, so Gemara asks, Yosam Rabbi Huda, Frank the Gemara, he's saying, very good, my time is Rabbanu, how can the Rabbanu argue on such perfect logic? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi B'Shem, Rabbi Chizki, Rabbi Huda B'Shem Shmuel, and he gives the following reason. Ksiv says in Pasuk, V'shachach to'aymer, there's some Gersol issues over here, I'm just going to read it the way they have it here in the art scroll. V'shachach to'aymer, Zehu Shikhas Omer, Basada Zushikas Koma. So there's two types of shikha, right? I can forget the type of shikha I just described to you was the omer where he makes in sheaves. There's also a shikha where I forget to cut a part of the field. I pashut forgot to cut a certain part of the field. If you forget to cut a certain part of the field, that's an also type of shikha. That's called shikas koma. Shikha of forgetting stuff that's already standing. Now that shikhas koma, the Gemara is making a comparison. One way to look at this drasha, there's two ways to learn it. Either we're comparing the shikhas koma to the shikhas omer, that whoever was Jewish at the time of the shikhas koma will be chayiv in the shikhas omer. People who were not Jewish at the time of the shikhas koma, such as this guy who was only Megayer after he finished doing all his Katsira, so he had already forgotten, or if he would have forgotten at that point his koma, it wouldn't have been shikha because he wasn't Jewish at the time of that shikha. So they both have to be chal at the same time. That's one way to learn the Gemara. Okay. Another way to learn the Gemara is that we're not referring to shikha per se only, but we're speaking about the leket and the peah. Okay. That's what the Gemara is referring to when it says koma. Whoever is chayev in those obligations will be chayev in the shikha obligation. There's a comparison. Because it says v'kutzuchem in both sukkim. So therefore, we compare them. That seems to be the Gra and the Rambam. They seem to learn that way. Okay. Eshiyesh l'shechas koma, yesh l'shechas amorim. Shein l'shechas koma, en l'shechas amorim. That's the pshat, the Gemara. So that's how the Rabbanon answer Rabbi Yehuda's taina. Okay. Yisrael v'gai shal yishufim b'kama. Now we're going to talk about a different topic altogether. Now let's suppose we were partners together, the Jew and the non-Jew were partners in the field, in the stuff that was, you know, that was growing. So it says over here, chalko shal Yisrael chayiv, v'chalko shal goy patr. So my part, right, so let's suppose there's 100 rows. Well, let's make it 120 rows. 120 rows, right, in the field. And what, so 1/60th of half the field is
one row.
So that'll be the amount that I have to give as my. So I take 59 rows as my chelek. And the guy owns the other half, so he takes 60 rows as his chelek. So he takes 60, I take 59, and 1/60th of my portion goes to the aniyim. That's what basically it says, okay? Rabbi Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'machlokes. This is a matter of a machlokes. What's the machlokes? So it says over here on the bottom that there's a tosefta that cites Rabbi Shmuel's dissenting opinion. This is in footnote 24. The pay obligation is applicable only when the field is completely owned by the Jew. Rabbi Shmuel holds if there's any shutfus of the guy in the field, then the entire field is putter, like, you know, in other halachas, when you have a shutfus in a guy, let's say,
like the
Bechor. Like, you know, like if the guy has a shutfus in the animal, you're completely putter here too. He feels that's not considered sirchem.
And nobody learns.
But the animal, it's only one animal. So it's impossible to divide it. But
right.
Here in the field, theoretically, technically, right. You could divide it so that each one has their own parts.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Tzvi. That must be the shita of the Chachamim, that arguing to be Shmuel, but apparently he doesn't hold that way.
And nobody learns 58 and 2 is the breakdown?
What was that?
And he should have to give a chelek for the guy.
No.
Nope. The whole Welt knows.
I don't have to worry about what if other people think things which are false, that's not chad. In other words, chad is only if what they think is true is an avera. But if what they think is true is totally nonsense, I don't need to worry about it.
So
that's a klal. That's a klal gadol. So if what they think is true, again, this is the litmus test of chashad. If what they think is true is an avera, which means if they think I did not light Hanukkah candles, that's an avera, because I'm supposed to light Hanukkah candles. In other words, you know what I'm saying? Let's suppose it was a doorway. Let's suppose it wasn't 3 tefachim wide. I'm making up a new halacha. Let's say there's no halacha that if you have a doorway that's not 3 tefachim wide, you don't have to light Hanukkah candles in it. I made up a new halacha. Okay, I made it up. So if I had a 3 tefach wide doorway on one side of my house, you're going to tell me, oh, people are going to see this doorway. They're going to think I didn't light Hanukkah candles. I have to light Hanukkah candles. No, it's not 3 tefachim wide. I'm putter from lighting there, so therefore, their shad is nonsense. That's what I'm just giving you a crazy example, right? That's a rule. Let me give you another rule. You know what's important? You just said that. That the Magen Avraham asks a kasha in Hilchas Tefillah, and about it says that a person is walking Achurei Beis HaKnesses. So let's suppose the shul has 2 doorways, right? So the doorway, like the shul. You have a doorway on Green Spring, you have a doorway behind the shul, on the back of the shul. So if I walk by the front of the shul, so why don't you say people, if I don't go into shul, people are going to say, look at that bum. He's not going to shul. So why not? Because the people know there's another doorway. The Dan Lukavskos is going to go in a different doorway. Or the Dan Lukavskos is going to go to a different shul. Yeah. So the Magen Avraham jumps on it. He says, how come over here, all of a sudden, the people are donning him Lukavskos, and by Hilchas Hanukkah, they're donning him Lukavchov? That's the Magen Avraham's kasha. It's a famous kasha. It's not Magen Avraham. It's the Beis Yosef's kasha. Beis Yosef asked the kasha. So, So, first I want to tell you the first answer of the Beis Yosef over there. You know what he says? Because Hanukkah costs money. And people, they're always Daniel Kafchov when something costs money. That's his first verse.
It seems like it's a riot that the Aniyim are going to think that they were cheated out of the other half of the field. They're not going to know that the guy is the owner of the field. 58 and 2.
You'd be surprised how much detail they know. They know everything. Okay, let's go on. So when it says this last line is very cryptic. You know, we have Baruch Hashem, an art scroll footnote, which brings us a whole Tosefta with about Rabbi Shmuel Shita. The Yerushalmi text is completely nothing. What does it say? It says, B'machlokes. What does that mean?
What? That's what I'm asking. I would have thought it would be 58 and 2. It's the other way to learn.
Well, you have a new shita, and therefore you can say, okay, fine. There's another way to learn this, by the way. That was one way. The pshat I gave you was one way. There's a variant that is a whole different pshat. You know, there's a shaila between Rebbe and Reb Shimon. I think his name is Reb Shimon. Let me make sure I get the right name. It's Rebbe and Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. Yeah, it's a shaila breira. Do you say yesh breira or do you say ein breira? Okay. So, Rebbe holds Ein Breira. Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel says Yesh Breira. Okay? Now, this Braisa is coming out like Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel says Yesh Breira because it comes out like Rosh Hashanah, right? So, whatever the guy got, it turns out Lemafreya, that was his chalak in the field, and therefore it's Pater from Peya. My part, I ended up being Mavur, that was my chalak, and it became Chayav in Peya. That's if you hold Yesh Breira, but if you hold Ein Breira, so then, that's Rebbe, then it comes out that we're shutting throughout the whole field. And I'd be Potter and Gansen, probably, right? So this that's what he's saying. It's a machlokes. That's what the variant talks about over here. Yeah.
Wait, so according to that, the Yisrael won't be chayav at all?
Yeah, I think so. Let me just make sure that I said that correctly. According to Rebbe, in the second column on 37A4 in the box, second column, it says, according to Rebbe, who does not subscribe to Breira, when the partners divide the produce, each partner does not receive that which was his all along. Rather, he now receives what was originally half his and half his partner's. Accordingly, each ear left for Peah is in reality half Peah, half non-Peah, is accordingly subject to Trumas and Maestris. Okay, so there's a different nafkamina. Okay, yeah, you have to look into what the nafkamina is exactly. It could be the shallow levy or trumas and maestros. Okay, I don't know exactly. Anyway, there's two. So we have two pshat in machlekes. Either a pshat is, or we have three pshat. Okay, now we're on lamed zayin of a base halacha. Hey, new halacha. Hikdash kama ufarda kama. This is a very easy mishnah. We've had it before. I'm gonna just run through it real quick. You mark that shit while it's standing, and you point it while it's standing. So chayiv v'chayiv in the peah, because obviously when you end up doing the ktsira, you are the owner, and it is in the rishus of a regular person. Amarim ufada amarim. If you're talking about where it was sheaves, and then you were kaddish it, and then you were mark the shit, and then you were point it. Obviously, you'd be chayiv in shikha as well, or if it was it's shikha. Rash zero sense, it's shikha.
Also
pay as well if it was a case where you had cut down your whole thing. Here he says in English, he says chayav lecha chikla and pay. He's chayav everything, right? Koma ufada amarim. Now let's suppose when you were makdish it was still attached to the ground, but then hekdish went ahead and the gizbar went ahead and cut it down, and then you were poded after it was in sheath status, right? Torah, then you're pater because at the time of the ktsira, Shabashas gives you the reason. Shabashas kovaso ha'isup torah. At the time that it became chayiv in these mitzvahs, which is v'kutzuchem, at that time it belonged to hekdesh. Uki yotzebo. Same thing is true by trumas and maestros. Same idea, right? Hamakish peiros machal abolonis maestros who put on. If you makish your peiros before they got to the stage of chiyuv of maestros, which is
shlish,
exactly 1/3. And then you were part of them before they got to the stage of 1/3 still. Then, chayavim, obviously they'll be chayav. Umi shabolo, oinasem aishas ufdon. And if you were makdish them after they got to shlish, so it became chayav at the time of shlish, then it became hektish, and then you were part of them. Chayavim, again, you're chayav because at the time of the chiyav, they were chulin. Hekdishan achlo nigmaru. If you were makdish them before they reached the third. Ugemar and hagizbar, and then it came a third in the rishus of the gizbar. Even though it says a verb, it doesn't mean he did anything. He's just waiting for it to grow, right? The achakakdon, then you redeem them. Turn their potter from shaskavatz naisum turn. It's a very simple mishnah. Okay. Now, when I read the mishnah, I thought this was the gemara's kasha v'lomatis and treizim. And why did it say it twice? I thought we were just talking about this mishnah. It says two cases. Seems to be a redundant case. That's not how they learn this Pshat Nakasha over here. They learn the Pshat Nakasha here is that it's talking about a Mishnah in Challah where they have exact same structure. So same thing. Now by Challah, you know the rule is when does an Issa become Chayav in Peya? In the Challah, I mean. Sorry. When does it become Chayav in Challah? It becomes Chayav in Challah when you add the water to the flour and make it into a dough. So if you are Makdish the dough, the flour before you added the water, and then the gizmah added the water and made it into a dough, and then you were part of the dough, it's part of from Chala, because at the time it became Chayav, and so it's the same thing again. So why do we have to have it twice? That's the way they learned the Kasha. Okay? For some reason, I mean, I didn't think about it. Why Taka is my way of learning the Kasha not a good way of learning it? I don't know. Is the Reisha is talking about like a shechem peya, and the Sefer is talking about maestros. I don't know why they couldn't ask the kasha on this mission itself. I don't know. I didn't look into that. Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Fia, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Moshe bar Pedaya, Achas lemurah, Achas leshlish. This is a very interesting gro over here who explains this the pshat in this gemara, and we're going to just read the gemara, and then we're going to read the gro. Because the gra is just an act of pure genius. The one is for miruach and one is for shlish, which is a very funny kind of a statement. It doesn't seem to mean anything. Let's just keep going a little bit more. And the B.I.C. says, Rabba b'chavraya, they said, chavraya miachas lemiruach, miachas leshlish. And they didn't say which one it was referring to, but Rabba mafarish, he was explaining what they meant. B'chala l'miruach, that the chala was the miruach part, and the b'peyo, l'shlish, the peyo was the shlish part. That's the end of the Gemara. Let's take a look at the Gra, how he says a beautiful pshat over here. Okay? Let's look on the right side this time. Rebo mafarish b'chala l'miruach. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let's start from the top. I'm sorry. From the right side on the top. Achas l'miruach v'achas l'shlish. So the Gra says the following. Shnei zmanim kavu chacham lo einas ha-maiser. Do you have this? You don't have gra? Okay. There are two times that chacham were kaveya einas maiser, right? There's two main times for maiser. There's two, how do you say it, when you reach a certain point, when I say you've reached a point in your life, you've reached a
Milestone.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. The milestone. So there are two milestones in the growth of Tvuah as far as Meiser is concerned. One is Shlish, right? Because that's when it becomes Chayav and Meisers. After it grows a Shlish and you cut it, what's the rule? You can eat it Achilas Arai, but you can no longer eat it Achilas Keva. And then there's another milestone, which is called Miruach. And after that, you can't even eat Achilas. All right, right? That's the rule. So that's what the Gra is going to say here. That's what I just told you. Now we're going to explain why Rabbeinu HaKadosh learned two separate Mishnayos, one by Chala and one over here by Lech Shechel and Peah. For Ha Desina Trei Zimnin, but Peah B'Chala. Why does it say it twice? Kamash V'lon, the Be'ino Trihei B'Yad HaBal HaBayis. It has to be owned by a regular person. Mi Shoa Shehevi Shlish. It has to be owned by a regular, ordinary individual from the time it was Hevi Shlish all the way through to the time of Miruach. If at any time in between that those two time periods, between those two milestones, if at any point in time it was owned by Hekdesh, Putter. That's what Rabbeinu Kadosh is telling me. By saying it in two places, Rabbeinu Kadosh is teaching us this special rule, which we would never have known otherwise. That it's a phase of Amhoy b'shas hava shlish b'yad gizbor or b'shas hami ruach patur min ha-maisres.
So how does that translate to chala?
So
is it when the baker purchases it?
So that's what he's explaining. That's the next line. Rabba mafarish b'chala miruach. Climber, hi ki yotze by the tony b'sachas chala lashmina dumi d'chala. Ma chala mayri b'shesins gal galoha iso. B'neser b'achilas arai. Just like by chala, that's once it becomes a dough, it becomes chayv and chala, you can't eat the dough anymore. Until you mafresh chala, that's chorus. It's tevel. Maybe it's misav deshvay. I'm not sure what the rule is. Hachinami ki yotze bo de toni l'inyan maestris hainonami mishanasar machilas arai whom is man miruach. The pay of the toni ki yotze bo yashmina dumi the pay of the chiyuva mishahe vishlish. Hachinami ki yotze bo de toni l'inyan maestris mayra shahe vishlish b'yana gizbar. So, in other words, basically, what LeGros is saying here is like this. There's no iser tevel by peah, right? That's what we've said this many times. Peah is something you have to give. It doesn't create any iserim on the existing tefuah, whether you've cut it, whether you not cut it. It doesn't create any iserei achila. Cause mind, you haven't given it. You have a chiyuv to give it, but if you didn't give it, it doesn't create any tevel. Masha ein kain by chala, as soon as you make the you should give them ha'isa, it becomes asa ma'achila. So which is like miruach? Miruach is a time where you no longer can eat it. Not achilas keva, not achilas arai. So that is rachila matches to chala. Okay? That's the idea here. Ad kan, daf lamed zayin.